Chapter 18
Page 15
And section 2
Section
2
kind of
In the first section of this chapter we have discussed about karma, jnana and
Karma, jnana, and yoga.
So now their lordship is going to explain to Arjuna that how karma or any activity that we perform, how they are controlled by the modes of material nature, knowledge, how it get affected by the mode that you are born with, sahaja pravritti, according to the one's own acquired nature by birth. So previously we have discussed there are five things that really causes a karma. Not we, but there are five things. Do you remember what are they? Guess. These are reactions of karma. Adishthanam tathakarta karanam cha pratak vidham vividasya pratak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. Adishthanam tathakarta. So the place of action, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of actions. And whatever action that we perform by body, by mind or speech, they are affected by these five aspects. Now, Lord is going to explain about not only this five, but there are three more. They really control your activities. And still, if someone thinks that, oh, I'm doing it, then there is no foolish person in this world than that. So we come in that category. We think that we are doing it. But it's not done by us. It is God done by us. And who is that? Who is getting done these things from us? That's what Lord explains from text number 18 to 40 of this chapter 40. So this will be the second part or second section of 18th chapter. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll start from the text number 18. Jnanam neyam paridnyata trivida karma chodanam karanam karma karateti trivida karma sangaha. Jnanam, that is knowledge, neya, object of knowledge, and paridnyata, and the knower, are the three factors that motivate actions, the senses, the work, the doer, are the three constituents of action. So there are three impetus for all the actions. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the performer of the work or doer of the work. So how they are again affected by modes of material nature. So that is explained by the Lord in further verses. So he says that Jnanam karma cha karta cha trivaida guna bhedataha prochate guna sankhyane yathavat shrunotani api. See, he is saying now, listen, hear my dear, because it's a very important point that we need to understand. Jnanam, karma and karta, trivedi guna bhedata. They are according to the three modes of material nature. So according to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, three kinds of actions, and three kinds of performer. Now hear of them from me. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavyam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tyajnanam vidisatvikam. So he is explaining about the knowledge in the mode of goodness. So what are the characteristics of the knowledge in the mode of goodness? He says that sarvabhuteshu yenaikam. The knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam. In all the living entities you can see the one unique thing. And what is that? As a living entity. Jiva. Not as a body, but
Jiva.
Jiva.
What is Jiva?
Soul. Living entity, soul. Then he says that though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. So, did you remember any verse similar to this in 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Where the definition of Pandita has explained. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shvapakecha panditaha samadarshina. The same thing has said. Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam. In all the living entities, when you start seeing that there is a living entity, not the external body, so the knowledge which makes you to see this is the knowledge in the mode of goodness. That's the knowledge that we need to possess, which makes us easy to make a progress in spiritual life. Then he says, prithakatvenu tu yajnanam nana bhavana prithakvidan vidyeshu sarvabhuteshu tadjnanam vidhirajasam. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of a living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. So here the concept of material body is prominent in the mode of a passion, where you segregate the things according to the forms that living entity possesses. Prithagvida, which divides. And this is what actually a demoniac nature. Because demoniac nature, what happens? When we were discussing about the instruction of Prahlad Maharaj to his fellow students, what he was saying? Because of bodily conception of a life, we think he is my friend, he is my enemy, he is good person for me, he is a bad person for me. So we try to divide them in different categories according to our experience with them because of their that particular body. So that knowledge which creates a dividation or segregation or categorization of different living entities, that knowledge in the mode of passion, which is based on the concept of material body. Is that clear?
So any behavior based on passion, it's wrong.
Is
wrong?
Yeah, definitely. If you want to make a progress in spiritual life, and when you start creating differences, because when you create a difference, definitely you will start relating yourself with a different ways. unless and until you consider all of them in whichever body they may be as a part and parcel of the Lord and treat them in that way, means respecting them. Sometimes what happens when you are in the mode of a passion, you don't respect everyone. Oh, that guy, I know. Keep distance from him. So that sort of attitude will not relate you with the Lord. Because rather than seeing a Paramatma in their heart, you are seeing that particular form of the person and the experience that you have with that form. So that creates a problem for us. So one has to be very careful. It's very difficult to have this particular stage of mind where you can see everything. Pandita Samadarshana, to see everyone on the same platform as a living entity. For sometimes it takes a lifetimes to come to that platform.
Sometimes you encounter people in your life that somehow they're not compatible with your demeanor.
Mm.
And but you don't want to reject them, but you want to act in front of them more neutral to avoid any confrontation. But sometimes I found myself in that position and I wonder, am I doing it right or wrong? Because how can I accept someone inside my bubble, you know, around me, if I can feel there is no compatibility, there is nothing in common.
Even Rupa Goswami...
Not necessarily based on knowledge or religious belief or whatever. It's just the demeanor of me and this other person, it's not compatible. It's, instead of attracting each other, it
repels.
Mm-hmm.
It's better, keep distance.
No, I try not to keep distance. I try to be more neutral. You know what I mean? I'm still around them, but mm-hmm. I'm more neutral.
Okay, not getting affected by them.
Right.
That's good.
I'm not affecting them by my presence.
And neither they are affecting you by their presence.
This is
right.
That should be achieved.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like in one thing happened, Jolius Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, initial days when he joined ISKCON, like he is the only Afro-American who has joined the movement.
Mm.
And he was like in very rejected or like in judged or like in separated by all other devotees. So he was from Princeton, right? He grew up from the ghettos and studied from Princeton University, and he went to Srila Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, like in, he was about to leave the movement, leave everybody, and with that intention he went to Prabhupada and he said, like in, all these other devotees are creating problems. So, and he was expecting Prabhupada that they are like that, or he was expecting some kind of convincing answer, but Srila Prabhupada said, like, in, why don't you be the best example?
Mm-hmm.
So that one answer acted like a jolt on Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, then he became like very serious in his devotional life. So the point is, so not everybody is at the equal level. Why don't you be the best example in your devotional life?
So unless and until we rise up the platform of bodily conception of life, we will not attain that knowledge in the mode of goodness. So first and the foremost thing in our spiritual life is to understand that we are not this body. If you are not this body, then definitely others, they are also not this body. And if they are not the body, then what they are? Soul. And Lord says, Mamaya Amsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. So all these jivas, they are part and parcel of me. So if you are offending someone, then whom you are offending?
Offending the karma. So
the part and parcel of the Lord. part and parcel of the Lord and His Lord is non-different.
Yeah.
So you, whom you are offending? You are offending Lord. Actually, this is what the thing that the advanced devotee, they always think about. In the 11th canto, one of the purports, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains about that. He says, how I develop this attitude of a humility? He says that, whenever I think of a person, I always think that this person has taken shelter of Mother Earth. Everybody in this world, who is living, even dead also, whom they are taking shelter of? Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is none other than the lotus feet of the Lord, because she always resides at the lotus feet of the Lord. And my Lord is so merciful, whoever takes shelter at His lotus feet, He picks them up and keep near to His heart. So if I offend anyone, whom I am offending? I am offending a person who is there on the Lord's chest. If you have that broad vision, do you think that, are you going to offend anyone? That's how the advanced devotees, they view the things. That is their perception. And that's why they are always humble. That's why they are always smiling and always serious in their endeavor of making progress in spiritual life.
Well, in things, I noticed that this past week, things don't bother them. You know, where things, certain things might get under my skin and irritate me, whatever, it's just like nothing bothers them.
That is samadarshina. If something comes which going to disturb them, they think about that. I have to really feel pity about these things. So many things that they have to cross over to come here. And then he prays to the Lord, take care of this. So that's the deep rooted understanding. That is the deep realization that the devotee has when he has a knowledge in the mode of goodness. Is that clear now? Okay. So we'll go further. Yattu krishnam vade kasmin karye saktam ahaitukam atatvad artha tadalpam cha tat tamasam udaritam. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of a work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is meager, is said to be in the mode of a darkness.
What is meager?
Small amount. Very small amount. Very low. Very little.
Insignificant.
Okay.
Like a tinge. Let's read the whole purport. Because sometimes we don't really understand what is there in the mode of ignorance actually. Because 90% of all things are there in this only. And that's why if you are totally submerged, you don't know how much you are wet. So degree of getting wet. Huh? If someone sees that from the distance, then he recognizes, hey, he's totally drenched actually. But we don't feel, oh, still my hairs are not that wet, or they are not that, what we can say, drenched with the water. So here, let's see the purport, what Prabhupada says about. The knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of a darkness or ignorance. Because every living entity is because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of ignorance. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities or a scriptural injunction has a knowledge that is limited to the body. He is not concerned about acting in terms of a directions of scripture. For him, God is money, and knowledge means the satisfaction of her bodily demands. Such a knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of the ordinary animals, the knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Such a knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of a goodness. Knowledge producing many theories and doctrines by dint of a mundane logical and mental speculation is the product of a mode of passion. And knowledge concerned only with the keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of
ignorance.
So now we have to think where we are. Are we in the mode of ignorance or passion or goodness? Sometimes when we are in the association of our devotees, then we may be having a knowledge in the mode of a goodness. But when we go out and someone asks some questions, then comes different theories and doctrines. Because we don't have an in-depth knowledge of a knowledge in the mode of goodness, then we start to speculate. To show that I am a spiritual person. Okay? There is no in-depth knowledge, but to show, heard something here, but like a half-cooked, half-baked, and you are serving it to someone else, who is also a person who is going to have a indigestion only of your knowledge. And why do they will have? Because 85% of our day, we are in the mode of ignorance only. Because whatever, we are running behind the knowledge, which can just give you ideas and different methods or process to fill this belly. Kutumba bharaneenava, only to take care of the family and things related with the body. So it becomes very difficult to find it out in which mode of material nature that we are in. Some exercise for you, like what they call homework. Tomorrow, make a point. The time you wake up and the time you go to bed, maybe there are 12 hours or 14 hours, maybe or 16 hours. Just find it out within the 16 hours. Really what you are thinking. Judge it yourself in which mode you are in. How long you stayed in one particular mode, then did it shifted or did something happen that made you think about some other mode? Just find it out. Or just tonight even, if you go, just write it down in your diary how you have spent your day and just categorize, was it in the mode of a goodness, was it in the mode of a passion, or was it in the mode of ignorance? That will make sure that where are you in. Generally what happens, whenever we come in the association of devotee, we think that, oh, you know, I have understood a lot now. And I think that these are the things that goes on always in my brain. But really we need to work it out with that. Like a previous generation to us, or maybe them actually, because they had a habit of writing down every day. Write a diary. Make a notes what you have done throughout the day. But in spiritual life, if you do that, that will help you a lot. That will like a counter check on your activities. During this 12 hours of a day, when I was in awakened stage, which mode I was working in and how long it lasted for. Just for today, then you will come to know that it is a red alarm or green alarm or orange alarm for you. And how much endeavor you have to take to make a progress in spiritual life. And it works. Because somebody suggested that to me, because I used to get angry like anything. Now also I get, but to just check it out. He told me, just find it out. Why? What are the things that really makes you, that really disturb you? Whether they are yours, someone else. If someone else means, you are conquered by that person. Because he wanted to agitate you and you got agitated. That means he has conquered you. So do you want to get always conquered by someone else? Or you want to conquer yourself? How it works? So if you make a record of that, that helps you to make a progress. And that's why at the end of the whole Bhagavad Gita, Lord is giving this count to Arjuna. See, he spoke all the karma. He spoke about the jnana. He spoke about the sannyasa. He spoke about the renunciation. He spoke about the yoga. Then he spoke about whole thing of devotional service. What devotion it means. And now he is giving what? A counter check. Whatever I have spoken to you, you tally it. Where you are suitable. Really, what it means to you, where is that dot on the graph? Is ascending, descending or flat? So this is what needed, you know. See, it's not only for your spiritual life. Even in the material life, you want to make a progress, you need to have this graph.
That will happen for sure.
That will happen?
In material life, everybody has graph.
Then why not for this spiritual life then? See, there are so many things. Materially, we are so alert to accept them and use them to make a material progress. But when the spiritual life comes, everybody thinks that, oh, just go, sit here, have prasad and go back. But it's like a spiritual entertainment. Huh? And if you take it that way, it's okay for maybe 2 hours a week you have that. But if you really want to make some tangible or substantial progress in your spiritual life, then you need to put it down. Dot it down, each and everything that you do in your life. Unless and until you do it, you may be there for last 20 years. It doesn't matter. And that's where you can see a few people, they come and they make tremendous progress in spiritual life. And few other, I'm senior, no? For last 35 years, I'm following Krishna consciousness. What's the use of that? Like once somebody came and he said, Prabhupada, they don't respect me. They don't consider me as a senior. Prabhupada, look that tree in the courtyard that is there for last 40 years. What do you think? You're not half of that even. Age, years, it doesn't matter. But what endeavor you put into that, how sincerely you take it up, that's really matters. And when you ponder on this, then maybe you are trying to go in the acquire the knowledge of mode of goodness. Otherwise, in passion and ignorance, you don't care about all this aspect. Had any thought about this? For next 4 months, now Chaturmasya has started, I'm going to send you one chart, one Excel worksheet. You have to fill it in. And it's for you. Don't submit it to me or don't show it
that
to me.
That's scary.
But it's only for you. And you make it out yourself. How many percentage that you are in Krishna consciousness? It's for you only.
How many what?
Percentage of Krishna consciousness is there in your life.
Can percentage go in negative?
Yeah. And everything is properly computerized. You put 1% and it will show that day that out of 100% where you stand on. Are you interested?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. So you have my number. Just send me your email ID. So I can send you that one. And it's very helpful. Actually, it was done by... You have that? Huh? Do you follow that?
I was not.
Why? Because you were staying in a base, so you followed that.
No.
Not needed, huh?
Not needed. Not
then?
Free will.
See, no, this is what actually. Because if you want to make a really sincere endeavor, then we need to be on that dot. The sadhana chart is very important.
We did follow that Prabhuji, nobody is asking. Earlier, counselors used to.
Now you have become a counselor.
No, they used to ask us, like, can you send your sadhana chart?
But for next 4 months, I'm going to ask you. Because at least in Chaturmas, because whatever you do, it gets like a multiple times, you know. If you chant one round, you are going to get a benefit of another 100 rounds. That's the glory of this Chaturmas. Whatever you do, it gets multiplied by hundreds of times or thousands of times. So whatever endeavor you put in for this 4 months, you will feel change, not me. It's you and your spiritual life. It's not going to affect or help me in my life, but it will help a lot. So tonight before I go, I will make sure that all you get that chart and try to fill it up. Okay, so going further. नियतं संगरहितं रागद्वेषत्तहकृतं अफलप्रेस्पुनाकर्म यत् सात्विकमुच्यते. We spoke about the knowledge in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Now we are going to discuss the work that we perform in different modes. The work that we perform in the mode of a goodness, that is explained in this text number 23. Nityam Sangarahitam. Sangarahitam means without any attachment. Niyatam, that is regulated. So, when the Patanjali Yoga system Yoga Sutra, it says about the Ashtanga Yoga, the first Anga is
Yama.
Yama means
do's.
And Niyama means
don'ts.
So here also said Niyata means
regulated.
When you know the do's and
don'ts,
then your things get Niyata means regulated. So when the activities that you perform, they are regulated and sangarahita means without any attachment. Araga dveshataha kritam. Araga. See, raga again means anurag and raga. Raga means asakti. Araga means without any attachment. The same. Raga, anuraga. Anuraga means someone is in that attachment. But here, araga means without any attachment. And what is that? If there is no attachment, then there is no hatred also. Generally, what happens? You don't like something because you hate something. That's why you are not attached to that thing. But here, araga means neither you are attached to that. That attachment, that detachment is not because you don't like that thing. Or it's out of a hatred.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't like it. So there is no asakti at all. Dveshataha, that is hatred. That anasakti without hatred. See, when Maharaj Yudhishthira, he reached at the threshold of heavenly planets, one dog was following him. And all of a sudden, the celestial beings, they came and they asked, okay, Maharaj Yudhishthir, now you can enter. Then he just looked back, turned back, and he saw that dog and he said, if I'm going inside, then he's also going. Then they said, no, dog cannot enter into the heavenly planets or the heavenly realms. They said, I'm also not going. Then they said, why? He said, because this dog is following me. Because he is my follower, Anugami, so it's my duty to take care of him. Now he has come to this particular stage, so I don't know while going back whether he will get to eat something or he will die like that. So I'm thinking about that. If you can rest assure me that it will go to his destination, then I'm ready to come inside. And all of a sudden, all denizens of celestial planets, they started showering flowers on Maharaj Yudhishthira. And that dog, he turned into Dharmaraj himself. See, this is the very important thing that I am going to tell you now. The conversation between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Dharma. So Dharma said, because he followed, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he left his home or his palace, he never looked back. He never looked back and saw that even all other Pandavas, they are following him or not. We discussed that verse maybe a few months back. From the first canto, 15th chapter, 50 verse. Everyone has to fly his own plane. That's what says Prabhupada in the purport. When even Draupadi and Subhadra, Maharaj Yudhishthira never cared for them, whether they are following him or not, what's happening with them. But here, at this moment, he's caring about the dog. Then Dharmaraj, he asked him, you followed so much of austerity. But I'm just checking, that austerity has not made you nirdayi, what we can say? Heartless. Generally what happens when you perform a lot of austerities, then you become heartless. Because of austerity, it becomes so dry, you know. So we are just checking that, but still you have a compassion in your heart. And that's what gets counted when you make progress in spiritual life. How much compassion is there in your heart? And only a grateful heart can have that compassion. Whatever you have got it, if you think it's by the mercy of the Lord, then you will feel compassion for others. Unless and until your heart is grateful for the compassion that you have got it from the Lord, tatte anukampaha, Lord becomes compassionate to them who has a simple heart. So here the person who performs the work without any hatred, means the person who is in the who has the knowledge in the mode of a goodness, only he can have this stage of his mind, and then only he can perform such kind of activities. So again, this action is related with what? Knowledge. What sort of a knowledge that you possess, that sort of activities you are going to do it. Because knowledge is the part of brain. Action, it seeds into thoughts. What sort of a thoughts that you are carrying, or what sort of a knowledge that you are carrying, that sort of a actions you are going to perform it. So the person in the mode of goodness, who possesses the knowledge in the mode of goodness, is going to perform action in the mode of goodness. How you can expect someone who is in the mode of ignorance can perform activities in the mode of goodness? Can he?
No.
It's not possible. So when you expect something from someone, you need to understand this. Sometimes what happens? We think that in the association of devotee only it happens. That few people, outwardly you may think that they have done their scholarships in different areas, but the things that is needed for the devotional service is not there with them. Because you have more knowledge in the mode of a passion, and here you want to act in the mode of a goodness. Do you think that will match? That will be a totally mismatch. And when we see that, that disturbs our consciousness. Does that happen?
That's true.
How many of you have?
Can you repeat that again? When that happens, what?
Disturbs. If someone is in the mode of a passion, and he tries to act or enact in the mode of a goodness, and you can feel that difference, and that disturbs our consciousness, because at one stage you think, oh, he is spending so many years of his life in following the Krishna consciousness, but his thoughts and his deeds are not matching. What will happen to me? So that time, rather than getting discouraged, you should pray to the Lord. After so many years, my Lord, I don't want to be like this. Save me from this particular stage. So rather than offending or finding fault with his knowledge and with his action, it's better to pray to the Lord, my Lord, I should not have this particular stage in my life. Does it make sense? And that's what helps us to make progress in our Krishna consciousness. That's why every day need to sit and monitor our own activities, where we stand on. In Sanskrit, there is a nice word. It's called as a Simhavalokan. Do you know Simhavalokan means? It's like a lion. When he walks, he goes few steps ahead and again turns back, and he looks all around, and again he walks, again he stops at one particular place, again he takes a turn, and again he watches. This is called as a Simhavalokan. Why he does that? He makes sure that he is on the right path with a proper ambience. Do we do that with our spiritual life? Okay, last 2 decades, 3 decades, maybe 4 decades, I'm in Krishna consciousness. But where I'm heading? Which way? What I'm carrying along with me? Who are there with me right now? Do we think about that? चलो आज का दिन आ गया, कल का भी चला जाएगा. Let it go. That will not help us in any way. So I was just wondering actually, why Lord at this stage he is explaining about all these things? Already he has given the cream of devotion, and now again he is pondering upon this particular subject matter. Why? Because when you come in the association of devotees, you will not find all are like topmost devotees. You will find somewhere are struggling, somewhere are more better than them, somewhere are more better than them. If anyone is realized, he will go back, he will not be with you. So sometimes we think that, oh, we should have an association of pure devotees. And why pure devotees will be here in this impure place? Everyone has to fly his own plane. So what we have to do? We got a track. We have got a track record also of previous acharyas, how they have followed being in this world. So just follow that path. Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. If you follow the footsteps of all these Mahajanas, you are destined to reach your destination. If not, then it's difficult. Hope I'm not boring you.
Okay.
It's to receive over and over so we can get it.
See, it's needed. It's not for me. I'm speaking it for myself. Because this is what needed. Because like almost like a 2.5 decades I was spent, and I'm just wondering that where I am now. Have I reached somewhere? Or just going on, okay, it's floating in the ocean without any direction. Huh? Or some tangible, substantial, something that I have achieved in the life. This 4 months of Chaturmasa, that really helps us for all the 8 months of the year. Because whatever you endeavor, whatever you ponder, whatever you want to achieve, you make a target right now. If you do this for this 4 months, then rest 8 months you can do it easily. Previously, it was really a hard job for me in the initial stage to sit at one place and finish 16 rounds. But Chaturmasya, okay, that's my vrata. I will not get up from my seat unless and until I finish my 16 rounds. So if you can do it for that 4 months, then it becomes a habit for rest of your life then. So something that you want to really take up seriously, you can take it in this month. It helps. Like chanting some extra rounds, reading some extra every day, and just monitoring that, how much I have read and what I have understood. When you read, discuss with someone. Because when you discuss with someone, definitely you are going to remember that for a long time. That's the way of memorizing or realizing these things. And it helps. When we joined Brahmacharya Ashram, it was our habit. Like I had one friend, now he's no more, he left his body, Shyamavalla Prabhu. Actually, he made me to do all these things. Whenever we used to hear Bhagavatam class, after Bhagavatam class, we sit and we used to discuss what are the points that we discussed today in Bhagavatam. And we used to make notes of that. So something that I can remember, something that he can remember, and there are things that we both remember. So that makes a lot of difference. So this is what, out of 100% be able to grasp 80%. Out of that 80%, 60% can be able to digest. Otherwise the rest of 20% is like a vomiting because it just jumped off. So unless and until you sit, discuss. Like, if someone comes as a guest, he speaks and he goes, oh, Prabhuji came, he gave a wonderful lecture, you know. What he spoke about?
Wonderful.
It was really wonderful, Prabhu. But what? No, the topic was really good. At least let me know the title of that topic. But we forget. Because we need, because after hearing that, we never discuss that thing. Retention is zero then. If you can't retain, it will just overflow then. So if you want to retain it, rediscuss it. Because sometimes what happens, few things that comes out of your realization. Somewhere in heart, you were thinking about that, but that again triggers you more to realize that particular point. That's why it is said, when you want to study something, you should be more than four. Because there are four directions, and four directions has its own way. And every direction has its own knowledge about. So at least minimum four people should be there. If you are more than that, six, you will get the knowledge of six directions. You will get more knowledge about the eight directions, 10 directions. So no corner will be left out. So you will get the knowledge from all the corners. So whenever, that's why Lord says that, what my devotees they do? Do you remember that verse? Huh? We discussed last Saturday. Right here in this place.
Satatam kirtan. Always.
Machita madagata prana bodhayanti parasparam. What he says? My devotees, what they do? Bodhayanti parasparam.
They share.
Not share. Enlights. They enlighten each other, bodha. They give bodha. They enlighten each other with my glories. This is what one should do when we come together. That's the one symptom of a devotee of the Lord. We put tilak, wear dhoti, kurta, but these are all external symptoms. But the real symptom of devotee, whenever they get chance. Oh, you know, I read this, Prabhu. Last time we were discussing about, but this time I read and this thing came out, you know. Do we do that when we meet each other? We never do that. So this is the parameter for us, where we are in, actually. In which way we are going, actually.
That is
actually the process of taking
association.
Yes. Then, next he says, Yattu kames puna karma sa ahankarena va punaha kriyate bahula ayasam tad rajasam udartam. But action performed with a great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of
passion.
I did it, you know. It's me. I did it. When that thing is there, when you perform activities, then sa ahankarena. For material life, it's needed. But still in the material life also people, they think, kya apni mar, apni seki bagar rahe. Why is glorifying himself only? It's me. Who has done? It's me. It's me. It's me. Nobody likes it actually. Some people, they think that, hide it. I have done it, it's okay, I know it, and people are getting results, it's okay. But some people, they wanted to make a limelight on that. And what happened? Lime is always sour in taste. So what they get?
Sour.
All sourness in their life. Because sometimes people, they don't care about. And that gives you a sourness in your heart. Huh? So whoever wants to be in a limelight, they have to get the sourness also. So people in the mode of a passion who performs their activities for getting more sourness in their heart. What happens, you know, when we speak like these things, then particularly images comes in your mind. All frames, they popped up. Huh? We immediately think about someone.
Also we think about someone, but we don't focus on ourselves actually.
Exactly. Why? Because still we are extrovert. We see what is outside. We don't see what is inside. Mm-hmm. Where I'm standing on.
How many times that I wanted, I have tried to become in the limelight. I tried myself.
Once Guru Maharaj was telling, what do you mean by coming in the limelight? People always like to be in that yellow light on the stage. Huh? But they don't see the people in the darkness, what they think about him. How many people really admire him? Amongst the 100%, there are 98.99%. They are cursing him because he is in the limelight. So that limelight gives you a sourness in others' heart. What's the use of that limelight then? So whoever wants to make a progress in spiritual life, he has to be careful about getting in limelight. That's why our process is dasa, 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 anu dasa. Servant of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. And in the outside world,
boss,
boss, boss, Boss, boss. And then what happened? People says, bus. Enough of you now. So this is, these are the actions in the mode of passion. And the actions in the mode of ignorance that Lord says about, Anubandham kshayam himsam anapeksham cha paurusham mohad arabhyate karma yat tamasam uchyate. He says, that action performed in illusion is disregard of a scriptural injunctions and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Do we need explanation on this? Because we just turn around and we will see all these things are happening around us. Today, it happened to talk to some laborers who are working for our temple construction. So, we gave them some prasad, they ate that. And few of them, they were asking, you people are not eating fish, you are not eating a goat, you are not eating a chicken. Huh? Then one of them only told that, see, my father, when he got a heart disease, the doctor gave him one book. And the first chapter itself explains, don't anything which has mother.
It has what?
Mother.
Mother. Don't eat anything which has mother.
So be a vegetarian. Because everything, chicken, fish, goat, anything, they have mother. People are so ignorant, still they are asking, you don't eat goat. Because those things are not meant for you. And doctor has to tell you, then you will understand. Unless and until doctor tells you, you don't understand that thing. So the knowledge in the mode of ignorance, how it bewilders, see, it says that it is disregarded to scriptural injunctions. And whatever activities they perform, that is out of scripture. That's in the mode of ignorance. They will sleep at daytime. They will stay away whole night. Huh? This is against the scripture.
Against the scripture, that's
right. I'm just repeating the word of scripture. It's not my commentary.
That's right.
Okay. Then they eat all
nonsense,
uneatable things. I can't say nonsense because everything in this world has some sense. But the person who is eating that is a nonsense. Everything is edible, for meant for different personalities, not for you. And you are nonsense, we are going to eat that. So that thing is not nonsense, but the person who is doing that is a nonsense. Then the way we dressed, the way we talk, why is it so? Because there is no knowledge in the mode of a goodness. They have a knowledge, but that's in the mode of a ignorance, not passion. Even in the passion also there is a discrimination, but ignorance there is a no discrimination at all.
They don't know what is right, what is the difference between right and wrong.
If that difference they know, then they will be in the mode of a goodness. That's why it's clearly said here that without concern for a future bondage, for a violence or a distress caused to others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So we have seen about the knowledge in three different modes of material nature. Now the actions in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So should we continue or...
Thank you.
It's too much, na? So next Saturday we'll think about other things. Okay. And next. Now the performer, the doer, who is in the mode of goodness, who is in the mode of passion, and who is in the mode of ignorance, that we will discuss next time. So before that, you make that chart and you will come to know that which doer we are.
Is there anything lower than mode of
ignorance?
Is there any other mode which is lower than...
Maybe Brahma is thinking about that because we come in that particular sampradaya. So he may be thinking about, I have created, but this next like Manu a totally Manu. Different unique species has come.
Next Monday.
Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Nanda Nandana Shyama Sundar ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.